right, take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 5. Keep your Bibles out. We're going to use our Bibles tonight. Proverbs chapter 5. You're going to use your Bible. We're going to stay predominantly in the book of Proverbs, but you're going to need them. So, Proverbs chapter 5. Boy, pray for folks. There's a lot out sick. Strep's going around, flu's going around. Ray Craig's dad's funeral is tomorrow in Sharon, Pennsylvania, which is, west of Pittsburgh, between Pittsburgh and Youngstown, Ohio. It's right over in there. They're driving up and back tomorrow for the funeral, so you pray for them. Let's see here. Brother Fred's gotten a couple good doctor's reports this week, and he was at the doctor Monday, Tuesday, and today, gotten released from one doctor already, and so he's doing much better, but he's just wore out after 3 days at doctor's. It's done wore him down, so you pray for them as well. Proverbs chapter 5, we're going to read the first 7 verses. The Bible says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth." Now, we have been talking on Wednesday nights about making biblical sense of our senses. God gave us 5 senses. You have hearing, you have sight, you have smell, you have taste, and you have touch. And God has a lot to say about this. One of the most powerful senses that probably impacts people the most is that sense of hearing. The sense of hearing. Yes, you can survive without hearing, but much of life and much of our world is based on hearing. By the way, your ability to get along in society is much easier if you're a hearing person. That doesn't mean you can't get along. And let me just say right here, I have a burden for deaf people. Someday, we're going to have an active and thriving deaf ministry. We're not set up for it yet. We're not ready for it yet. But one day we will be. And I'm excited about that. I've worked around a lot of deaf folks. And I mean a lot of deaf folks. We had the largest deaf ministry in the world in the church we worked at in Indiana. One of my dear friends and fellow assistant pastors, Brother Bill Shutt, was deaf. He was totally deaf. He used to laugh. He'd call himself deaf and call me dumb, and we'd have fun with it. And I loved Brother Shutt. Now, I've worked around a lot of deaf folks. I've learned a lot about them. And I know something about deaf people, and this is not intended to be critical, but I've talked to many people that have worked with them, as well as the experience myself. Deaf people are often very difficult to work with. They have a certain stubbornness about them. Deaf people, if they don't want to hear what you're saying, they just do this, or they'll close their eyes. And they cannot hear what you're saying. Is all they have to do is close their eyes or put their head down, and they can pretend they didn't hear anything, because they didn't. And they know it. And that's the bad part about it. And that's just how they are. Now, again, I love them. But due to their not hearing, they have a... I'm gonna use 2 words here. They have a stubborn temperament, and I hate to say it this way. They often are pretty. They have an angry temperament. Often, they have a very short fuse. They go off real quick. They're a little bit, and not every deaf person in the world's this way, but they tend to be a little bit more self-centered. Everything's about them. And if it doesn't go their way, they're upset. Now, they get upset if you say that deafness is a handicap. But 99% of them have a blue tag that they hang in their windshield, and they park in handicap parking, get mad if there's not enough spaces for them. That's how they are. And I'm not upset. I think they deserve it as much as anybody else. But let me say this, that's kind of their temperament a little bit more and more. And it's just a fact. Now, listen to this statement. Look how many times we've gotten ourselves in trouble in life by not hearing or by not listening well. How many times have you gotten yourself in trouble because you just didn't listen real well? Or, kids, well, I really didn't hear it. Okay. The truth is, listening and hearing are different. Often in the Bible, the word hear and the word listen are nearly the same. Did you know you hear things without listening, but you don't listen without hearing? Your mind can perceive things through what your ears hear without you even concentrating on it. You're hearing both. You just heard the one heater kick in. You heard the other one that stayed running. You heard people rattling papers in their Bible. I've heard other things, people doing different things during the service already. You're hearing different noises and that type of thing. May I say this? You're hearing those things, but you're not concentrating on them. You're hearing my voice. You're hearing my buttons click against the pulpit. You're hearing all these different noises. And though you hear those things, you're not necessarily thinking about what each and every one of those noises are as it takes place. But when you listen to someone, that's different. When my kids were little, every once in a while I'd be busy and they'd want to tell me something and I was listening to, well, I was hearing what they were saying, but I wasn't listening. Did you ever have a little child put their hands on your face and say, "Listen to me"? In other words, they know you're hearing them, but they know you're not listening to them. Some of you wives need to do that to your husbands. And now, the ear is the tool with which we listen. It's the receiver of sound waves. A person who does not listen, or maybe deaf, is like a radio that's off. If you didn't turn your radio on in your vehicle on the way to church tonight, the sound waves for that radio were still out there. It's you didn't get them because you didn't have the receiver turned on. And your ears are much the same way. If you don't have your ears turned on or tuned in to the right station, you're not going to receive what's going out there that you're supposed to get. Now, hearing comes naturally to most people. By the way, listening and hearing are different. Now, you hear things naturally, but you don't listen naturally. You have to train yourself to listen. Listening is an act of the will. Hearing is something that comes natural. Listening is something you do because you've willed yourself, you've told yourself you're going to do it. You have actually made it something important enough to you that you're going to stop and do that. My wife will tell you, one of my pet peeves, I love to talk to my daughter. But sometimes she calls me and she's at the lobby at the college and I'm not sure if she's talking to me or 13, 14 other people that are there. And I can put up with it for a little while and then I just don't talk. Say why? Because I get frustrated. If you're going to call me, call me. If not, don't waste my time. I love you, but call me when you're ready to talk to me, not everybody else walking by. And I don't get upset, but that's the way I am. I cannot stand three people talking in three different directions on three different phones, and you're not sure who you're talking to. Okay, when it's important enough, let me know. See you later. Bye. I'm done. And I'm a busy person, but I'm not going to, I might say, could you hold for a second? I'll put you on hold. I'll answer something, and I'll come back. I'm not going to, oh, yeah, hang on here. I'm talking. Don't do that. That bothers me. Say, well, it's because you can't keep track of more than one thing at a time. Come follow me around for about 3 hours. You'll find how many things I keep track of at all times. I can keep track of a lot of things, but listening is something you do on purpose. Listening is something you do by your will. Now, even a deaf person who hears with their eyes has to decide they're going to listen to the person that is signing for them. If they choose not to, they look away, they look down, or they'll close their eyes. It is a matter of, and by the way, some of them hear quite well. When we were in the Chicago area, it's hilarious. I knew just enough Spanish to where most Spanish people thought I knew Spanish. I'd go to the door, they say, no hable inglés. I say, hable español. And they'd look at me. And then they'd say something, and I'd recognize a word or two and say, mm-hmm. All right. And then they'd start speaking English. I honestly didn't know what they said, but they didn't know that. There was very few of them that didn't understand any English. And I knew just enough Spanish to be able to get them with that. Now, the Bible says, in reference to the ear, in reference to hearing, and in reference to listening, God has a lot to say about it. I am not going to cover it all in the next 25, 30 minutes. There's no way. I'm going to give you a good portion of it. As you read your Bible on your own, you'll glean some things from the study tonight. I'll give you a good overview, and we'll exhaust the issue, but I want to help you with something. Now, let me show you what I mean here. Point number one, listening is an act of the will. Look at Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 1. I want you to notice some words here. My son, attend unto my wisdom, watch this, and bow down thine ear to my understanding. Do you know what that term bow down means? It means submit. It means to actually stop, bend down, and concentrate on what's being said. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, and we're going to look at one verse here. And I could take you to probably half a dozen verses like this, but Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse number 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. God says, I want you to bow down. I want you to humble yourself. Bowing means humility. If you bow before someone, you are submitting, you're recognizing their stature is above yours, and you're literally to bow before them to listen to them. That's why, listen to this very carefully, that's why I think it's important in a school setting that a teacher is above the student in a church situation. You'll listen better when I'm up here than if I stood down there. You're in a situation where we mentally are listening up to someone. And I didn't write all these scriptures down, but throughout Proverbs and Psalms and other places, the Bible says, incline thine ear. Incline thine ear. What's that mean? Listen up. Incline means an uphill. In other words, we're to bow, we're to listen up, we're to pay attention, and it's an act of our own will. Did you know you have to decide to bow? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego chose not to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's, I call it a totem pole, I don't know what else to call it, his image. Anything that's 90 foot high and 3 foot wide, that's a totem pole to me, all right? The guy had and it was made in Nebuchadnezzar's image. Can you imagine? He had chicken legs in that thing, man. Bowing down or inclining your ear means you purpose yourself to listen. Can I tell you something? We in America need to slow down and learn to listen to people. We need to slow down and learn to listen to what people say. Not just hear their words, but listen to what they say. I'm probably going to make somebody mad if I'm successful. Social media and texting are not to be the only way we listen to somebody. The internet is not to be the only way we listen to somebody. Did you know there's no emotion in texting? I don't care how many capital letters you put in there. Sorry. When I found, good night, I've been texting for 6 months or a year, and I found out that all capital letters meant you were mad and you were yelling at somebody. I didn't know that. I thought it meant I was emphasizing something. I had no idea. I had people say, "Preacher, are you mad?" "No, why?" "You used all caps." "Yeah. Something wrong with that?" Man, it took me forever to figure that out. I was laughing. And man, there's people who thought I was mad at them. I'm having a good time right now. Wait a minute. There's no feeling behind texting. There's no feeling behind social media, social network. There's a false sense of closeness. By the way, I'm not against the tool of texting. I use it a lot. A lot of you men and others here, I text regularly as a way to keep up, let you know I'm praying, this different things like that, and I'm for it. But that's not the only communication you have with me. If that were the only realm of communication we had, it would be pretty weak. Now, I believe firmly that we need to slow down and listen to one another. Do you know, I work real hard at slowing down and listening to people. There are some people, it takes them 10 minutes to say hello. I mean, and God bless you ladies. You like stories. I want facts. You know, cut through the stories. I don't care what it smelled like, what color it was. I don't care this. I don't just, what do we need? Here we go. But I realized that a long time ago, my wife and my daughter and many other ladies, they needed that outlet to get it going. That's okay. I'll take the time necessary, usually. Every once in a while, I'll tell my daughter, "Honey, what are you really asking me? Let's cut through the story. Tell me what you need." Because I might be in a little bit of a hurry. I've let her wander for about 2 minutes before we got to that point, though. I'm looking at this thing thinking, okay, we got another 15 minutes before she ever gets to the point of this thing, and I already know where she's headed. I've been around that block so many times. Just get to the point. But I can't say that to her. We need to learn to slow down and listen to someone. Every once in a while, my wife will be talking, and she'll say something, and I'll say, "I didn't hear that." I'm getting to the point. Most of the time, I'll say, "I wasn't listening. I wasn't paying attention." "I know." "Okay, could you say it again? This time I'm listening." I'm not afraid to say that. You say, "Well, you..." Yeah. Every once in a while, I have to admit to myself, I wasn't giving her the attention she needed. It's good for me to do that. That's called bowing down the ear. Bless you. Now, we need to hear... You hear things going on all the time, like Ellen sneezing. But to listen, you do it on purpose. Now, number two, you ready? Here we go. Wise people listen to all the facts before speaking. Wise people listen to all facts before speaking. Look at Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Let's look at verse number 15. "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." Wise people seek knowledge before they speak. Can I tell you something? Just because you read it on Wikipedia doesn't mean it's true. Just because you read an article from Thailand that eating a certain chili pepper cures, spina bifida. I don't think you ought to run around with people and shove peppers in people's mouth. "Well, I read that somewhere." Okay, let's look at all the facts first. You would be surprised. how things get skewed, all right? Just because you read it or heard it doesn't mean that it's true. This is going to shock you. Did you know that the press lies? No. Can you imagine what the press would say if Jesus were alive today? Can you imagine what the newspapers and the news commentators on, you know, the three sewer lines, ABC, NBC, CBS, would say? Can you imagine what the press would be on Jesus Christ right now if he were here on earth? You'd say, well, it would have to be better. No, it would be worse because the press lies. This one's really going to shock you. Everybody, are you ready? Did you know not everything on the internet's true? I know that's hard to believe. Some of you, if it's not on the internet, you don't believe it. And yet I can take you to site after site after site, and none of them agree with the other. So before we speak as an authority, before we speak with wisdom, we better get our facts in order first. Did you know not everything on Facebook is true? Now, I don't know. I've never been on Facebook. I don't have Facebook. Don't plan to have a Facebook. Nobody wants my face in a book. All right? But let me say it this way. Just because it's on Facebook doesn't mean it's true. All right? This one's really going to surprise you. Did you know politicians lie? Every time they move their lips. I mean, did you? This one will really get me in trouble. Did you know educators lie? When they teach evolution, that's a lie. When they teach history that's been rewritten, that's not accurate, that's a lie. They teach political correctness, that's a lie. Did you know advertisers lie? That knife that you'll never have, ever have to sharpen again, and it's got a lifetime guarantee. They didn't tell you how long that lifetime was. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Scientists lie. Did you know that? Global warming is a farce. Period. End of discussion. Evolution is a lie. Period. End of discussion. They're now saying global warming's not as bad as they thought it was. The computer models had bad information, so it's not as bad as it once was. But they had a 15-year gap of where things went, and they figured that it went 700 meters deep into the ocean, and the oceans absorbed all the heat, which is dangerous because it's hotter down there. And first of all, heat doesn't go down. Heat goes up. They're lying. Now they're saying that they believe that humans are going to start evolving, and their fingers are going to get longer, and their toes are going to get longer, and they're going to start webbing together because of global warming, because the polar ice caps are going to melt, and we're going to have to learn to swim, and we're going to be swimming more, so our fingers and our toes are going to web out and get longer because of it. That is exactly what the scientists are putting forth. I heard it in the last 7 days. And these are intelligent people. I'm glad I'm not intelligent. Call me an idiot all you want. You know, learn to trace all the facts before you form an opinion or speak something as truth. Too many of us, okay, and this is not to create trouble, but you can take any of this this movement against the police officers in America. I don't believe every police officer in America is wrong. And I don't believe every one of them is right either. But that's what the courts are for. Just because you get pulled over, and I don't care if it's in Baltimore, don't care if it's the guy that just got killed in Ohio, I don't care if it's the shooting in Chicago or Missouri or Texas or California, just because a police officer shoots and kills somebody doesn't mean the police officer is guilty. Everybody doing all right? Before, it's amazing to me that every one of these cases that have gone to court and the police officers have been found innocent, everybody says, "We've no justice, no peace." Wait a minute. That's what justice is. They went through a trial. they were found to not have enough evidence against them to be found guilty. You want justice to be what you want it to be, not what justice is. It's amazing how in Ferguson, Missouri, that I forget the young man's name, he was led to be a saint by everybody till everything went to trial. Everybody doing okay? And all these people, it's amazing how that just moments, hours, and not even a day after he was shot and killed, everybody had these police officers guilty. They didn't tell you that guy turned his own gun turned the police officer's gun on him in the car and shot at him. Busted his eye socket. They got into a fight, and the guy was fighting for his life. Everybody doing okay? We don't get enough factual information before we form an opinion. You see, too many of us form our opinion and we don't have all the facts. People were asking, "Preacher, do you think the police officer was guilty?" I don't know. I'm not sitting on the jury and I'm not sitting there listening to all the facts on both sides. I can't tell you. I can't tell you the shooting down in Charleston that the police officer shot the young man. I can't tell you whether it was justified or not because I hadn't heard all the information. I do know this. It's amazing. He was a wanted man who is known to have been carrying weapons. He'd been stopped by an officer, told to stay in his car, got out of his car, and started running. The other guy in his car stayed in the car. Then he fought the officer and grabbed the officer's gun. Now, was he justified in what he did? I don't know all the facts. I really don't have an opinion. I could tell you what I might think, but I'll be honest with you. I haven't thought about it enough to form an opinion. I'm not going to hear all the information to know. That's what we have juries for. That's why they listen to all the facts and make a decision. Now, wisdom gets all facts before they decide and make a decision. Parents, make sure when you have a child or children and you have to make a decision, you get all sides and you believe all sides, not just one side. Boy, that's a hard one. Every once in a while, the one that you don't think is telling the truth is actually telling the truth. But it's your job to make the decision. By the way, as an educator, I was not one of these people that if one person got in trouble, I don't believe the whole class suffers because one person gets in trouble. The one that gets in trouble ought to be the one that gets in trouble, not the whole class. I don't believe in punishing a whole group of people because one person did wrong. I don't find that being just. If Evan Barnes runs a stop sign after church tonight, I don't think it's fair or just for the police officers to give everybody that was at church tonight a ticket for running the stop sign. Wouldn't you agree? Give it to Evan, not us. He did it, not us. Then why should we punish everybody because one does something wrong? I don't believe that's justice. So wisdom hears, it listens to all sides. I worked in the field of education for a long time. Grade school, junior high school, college. I did a lot of, I was in charge of discipline. It's amazing what people say sometimes. And it's amazing to listen to all the facts. I remember one kid. I've probably told this, but it was one of the more humorous things. Happened to be in my wife's class, third grader. Got a demerit, turned the demerit in, came across my desk, and I went, mm-mm. It was signed, it had the dad's name on it, but the third grader signed dad's name to it. Say, how do you know? I know the difference between a third grader's cursive and an adult's cursive. So I called the dad. I said, did you know so-and-so got a demerit? Nope, didn't know that. He said, I think you need to come to my office. He said, why? I said, because your son signed your name to the demerit. He said, I'm going to kill him. I said, no, we're not going to kill him, but we're going to educate him today. So he came to the office. He looked at it. He said, that's my son's signature. That's not mine. So I called him out of class. He came over. Mom and Dad are sitting in my office. He comes in, sat down. He knew something bad was wrong. I started talking to him. I asked him if he knew what forgery was. Of course he didn't, so I got to explain it. And I explained to him what forgery was and how bad it is to sign somebody else's name to something. And then I pulled this demerit slip out. The kid starts sweating. I said, whose name's on that? Right there on the signature. He said, that's my dad's. I said, did your dad sign it? Yes, sir. Now, I already warned Dad, don't come out of your chair. Sit on your hands. Let him hang himself. But Dad couldn't sit on his hands after that. He stood up. He said, son, you're lying. Got in that little boy's face. I said, hold on, Pop. It'll be okay. He said, nope. He said, I'm going to whoop him in here for what you did, but then I'm going to whoop him for lying, too. He said, Brother Bush, give him more demerits for lying. He just lied. End up having to write demerits out for lying. I thought, you go, Dad. Can I tell you something? That young man loved his daddy. Can I tell you why? Dad got all the facts together. Now, that little boy didn't realize we're chasing all the facts. It's not just that the name was there. Who did the signing? But I was able to show him that's why we believe the King James Bible is the only word of God. This is the only one God signed. The others are a forgery. They're an imposter. They're not real. I was able to show him that's why the importance of the Word of God and integrity. I don't think that young man will ever sign something that's not his name ever in his life. Say why? Because when Dad got done with him, he was wore out, let me tell you. Now, wait a minute. Wisdom listens to all sides. And I must hurry. Two more points here. Number three, wicked people, liars and foolish people listen to lies as truth. Turn to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, look at verse number 4. Notice the word ear here again. Proverbs 17, verse 4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. It's in reference to listening. And a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Can I tell you something? Foolish people listen to gossip, lies, and negative things. Protect your ears from those kinds of things. Choose not to listen to those kinds of things. By the way, evil people fabricate information to cloud truth, to destroy good people. There are people that will take facts, twist them, to try to destroy somebody's reputation. I don't care if it's my enemy, I'll protect their reputation. There are people that will take something that seems to be factual and talk as though it's fact. And because they have a position, people will believe them, but it's not true. Just so you know. That's called evil. If I'm trying to attack Tammy or April, and I say, well, I know something about them, I have a position, I might know a fact, but I might not tell you that it's not all true, or it may not have been about them even. Or it could be that somebody that told somebody that told somebody that told somebody that told me that it was true. And I'll say it's true. Now, wait a minute. That's not an authority. Everybody see where I'm headed with this thing? We listen to too much negative. We need to learn to listen, to read, to watch, and to play things that aren't negative, that aren't evil, that aren't destructive. Can I tell you something? Don't listen to gossip. Everybody, let me say that again. Don't listen to gossip. Yes, sir. You can say amen very loud on that one. Be careful how much TV and news that you listen to and that you believe. Okay? We're not all going to die because it's going to snow. All right? Everybody's in a panic. 50 million people could be affected by this storm. Yeah? There's 300 million people in America. Guess where it's going to snow? Right where there's a good concentration of people. It doesn't mean 50 million people are going to go hungry, homeless, and not have any heat. That's the way they make it appear. We get involved in this panic way too much. And I'm probably going to get in trouble here, but be careful what games and video games and things you play that are negative, violent, almost real to life, but they're not. I did not allow my children to play games that were killing people. I didn't. I didn't allow my children to play games where they were stealing things. Grand Theft Auto. Why do I want to teach my children to steal a car just for play? I didn't allow my children to play these Street Fighter games. Can I tell you why we have the number of shootings we have in America? Because kids are playing video games, adults are playing video games, and they're killing people all the time. So when they take their gun out to go do something and they're angry, it's just a natural reaction and they're used to it. They are totally numb to it. Shooting a human being ought not be something you're used to. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. I didn't allow my kids to play that. Now, wait a minute. My kids grew up with guns in the house. We hunted. My children knew how to, shoot a weapon. They knew how to handle a weapon. They didn't even have toy guns. My wife will tell you, I don't even like squirt guns. I didn't with my boys. I didn't want them pointing a real gun at somebody. I finally broke into squirt guns. But even then, I wasn't real comfortable. Say why? Because a gun wasn't a toy. Now, they played stick guns and finger guns, and they didn't get suspended in school if they bit their peanut butter and jelly sandwich into a gun and pointed it at somebody because all it could do is spit grape jelly. But good night. You know, some of our entertainment is not really entertainment. We've got to be careful. Dungeons and Dragons. Good night. We play with evil things. I don't have any games on my phone. If I do, I've never played one, so I don't know. And I'm not against some of these things. I have other things to do. I don't sit there and play. And I'm not against you if you do. I don't even know what some of these. There's one with candy. What's it called? There you go. I don't even know what these things are. My daughter will play some of these things. I'm thinking, that's really stupid. No, this is fun. Okay, your definition of fun and my definition of fun are way different. And I'm not against it. I'm glad if she's going to play a game, it's about crushing candy and not crushing somebody's skull. You know, that's just the way it is. Now, I got to hurry here. Look at Proverbs 25. By the way, be careful what you read. We read way too many romance and sensual things. Proverbs chapter 25, look at verse number 8. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. Watch this. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Our ear is supposed to obey truth. We need to listen for truth. I've said it before. I don't read fiction books. I don't watch fiction, science fiction. I don't get into anything that is fictional. I'm not saying it's sinful. I just don't do it. I don't like being lied to. And that's how I feel. I'm not saying it's wrong. I just don't do it. I'm trying to fill my life with truth, not stuff that's not even real. All right? Here we go, number 4, and I'll finish here. We need to ask God to help us to listen. Turn to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. We need to learn to ask God to help us to listen. Let me show you a verse that might surprise you. Isaiah chapter 50. And we're going to look at verse number 4. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in due season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Notice that. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Can I tell you something? Almost daily, I ask God, God, will you keep my ears in tune with you? I want to be able to hear you. Now, wait a minute. I hear by reading his book. Just as a deaf person would read sign language, I read God's words, and I ask him to help me hear what he has to say. I ask God to help me hear as the Holy Spirit speaks to me so that I'm in tune and I'm listening to what he says. By the way, Jeremiah chapter 9, if you want to take your Bible, turn just a few pages over to Jeremiah chapter 9, just 20 pages or so. 30 pages, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 20. Look at God's choice of words here. Jeremiah 9, 20. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth. Wow. Let your ear receive the word of his mouth. Your ear is a receiver. And we have to ask God to turn it on and get us tuned to the right station so that we're listening to what God has to say. Again, if you were listening to, the message, you may not get the message of God, even though it's going out across the waves, if you're not listening to it. If you don't have your ear tuned to it, it's amazing. People can sit in this auditorium, they listen, they ask God to open their ears, they hear the truth, and it helps them. There's others that sit here like a bump on the log. They'll clip their fingernails, they'll sit there and doodle, they'll sit there and do their phone, they'll sit there and do other things, it doesn't matter. And they're not listening, and then they get mad, oh, church is just so boring. No, you're not listening. Your receiver's not tuned to the right station. Everybody doing all right? By the way, did you know the same radio that you listen to, and maybe you were listening to the sports station or whatever on the way in tonight, that same radio could also play rock music if it's on a different station? Do you know you could be listening to the quote-unquote Christian station, but that radio can play something that's evil and vile and nasty? It's the same radio. It's just, what are you tuned into? Everybody understanding? You might be able to watch something decent on television, but that same television can play something that's not decent. It just depends on what station you're tuned into. I want my life in tune to listen to the things of God so that I know what God wants for me and for our church and for my family. It is my job to bow my ear, incline my ear, use my ear as a receiver, use my eyes to read his word, and ask him to open them so that I can get what he has for me. And just like when my children used to say, Daddy, listen to me. God says, listen to me. Listen to me. If you'll just open your ears. Yeah, I know you hear the noise, but you're not listening. I used to tell my kids, yeah, Dad, I heard you. No, you may have heard the words, but you're not listening because you're not obeying. You might be able to repeat the words, but that doesn't mean you're listening to what I'm saying. We've got to listen to God. There's a lot in the Bible about our ears and our hearing. Let me ask you a question. How are your spiritual ears tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How are your spiritual ears? Do you have them in tune with God? Are you listening to his word and his words? Or do we listen to the wrong influences? As the piano begins to play, let's stand to our feet. If you need to use this altar tonight, you come. How's your communication in your home? Do we listen to one another? Folks, I want you to enjoy life. I want you to learn how to communicate with people. I really do. Phone etiquette is gone in our society. It really is. We need to get back to good phone etiquette. We need to get back to listening to one another as we talk. Not just hearing the words and not talking to our kids while we're talking on the phone and we're playing on the computer and doing three things at once. You're not listening. You're hearing. You're not listening. We've got to get back to listening to folks.